Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Hopefully you're having a great day. So good to be here today. Thank you again for tuning in. If you haven't already, you can find our podcast on any major podcast app. We also have a 30-minute episode called The Weekend Edition. So just search KJV Weekend Edition if you want to listen to that. And we're also on YouTube. Just search up KJV Cafe. Every once in a while, I'll post an extra message there as well. Used to be pretty good at that, and I'm starting to get back to getting more stuff online. So check us out at YouTube, KJV Cafe. You can find us there. All right, so last episode, we looked at Genesis 9:1, and this episode, we're looking at Genesis 9, verse 1. Last episode, we spoke about God's approval on man and how good that is when God blesses. So Noah builds this altar. He has this massive offering of all these animals. I'm assuming every clean beast, amen, because they brought at least 7 on board. And to get to these couples, they would have only needed 6. So lots of animals offered. God smells a sweet savor. He says, I am not going to do this again. And then he says, I'm going to bless these people. Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You know, that's so interesting that in our lives, we can do all kinds of things. But without God's blessing, what can we really do? You know, if the Lord's in it, you know, what can't we do? And if the Lord's not in it, what can we do? I know that sounds simple, but that's the truth. And just to keep the our eye on God, our mind on God, we kind of give Noah a lot of credit for what he did and his faith and so forth. But let's be mindful that the whole plan was of God. God saw the whole plan through. God shut the ark. God told Noah to get out. God approved of the offering. And now God blesses Noah. So God gets all the glory, amen, for what he's done here. And then he has a command. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And here is something where we are going to look today at the idea of we've got right now, like under our looking glass, if you will, under our microscope, we've got right now the root of humanity as we know it today, right? So we looked at Adam and Eve and so forth. We looked at the evil line of Cain. Then we looked at the godly line of Seth. We've looked at those things as we've gone through Genesis here in the first 8 chapters. And now we're here in chapter 9, and we're seeing this reset, right? The word here in Genesis 9:1, God says, replenish the earth. And if you Google the definition of replenish, or if you have a dictionary, that's what I was thinking of. If you have a dictionary, pull it off the shelf, dust it off, look up replenish. It means to make full or complete again, right? And so we're at this kind of moment where things are being changed and reset. And here we have a way or a method of tracing humanity back to this group right here. And we're going to look at what that means for you and for me today. So stay tuned as we get back right from this break.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, thank you for coming back here with us. So I'm going to tell you a little anecdote, and then we'll get to this point about Genesis 9. Growing up right outside of New York City, sometimes I'd be on the train in the city, a young person, and be nothing to see someone speaking, you know, maybe someone Irish speaking Gaelic, or someone Japanese speaking Japanese, or hearing Spanish or Urdu or some other language. And sometimes I didn't know what the language was. But if I looked at those people, you know, I may have been taught through the lens of the public school or society that there's a difference there, right? And just like here in the South, in the North, there's racism and all kinds of things like there is anywhere, you know? And there's, by the way, people think racism is just like predominantly something that white people do or something. You know, minority groups are very racist against each other too. And, you know, you'll learn that very quickly if you spend time with minority groups. I mean, racism is just prevalent among all people. And for what? And here's the point. In Genesis 9, we see everybody comes from Noah, okay? Where was Noah from? What was his origin? He was Middle Eastern, right? He was from Mesopotamia, is what experts believe. Somewhere there, Eastern Turkey, Northern Iraq. He's Middle Eastern, okay? And so from Noah, there's this command to repopulate the whole earth, amen? And that is where we all genealogically would be rooted back to. And so we see here that there is no such thing as race beyond the human race. Amen. And again, I've got many anecdotes about people that talk about race like it really is something. It's in the Bible in Numbers 12. We see that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? And they start gossiping about Moses. And Moses was very meek, and the Lord's anger was kindled. Miriam ended up getting leprosy. God struck her with leprosy because she spoke that about Moses. And so we see racism dating back to Numbers. Numbers 12, it's fascinating. You should read it. We see racism dating back that far against God's own man. And he had married an Ethiopian woman, which would have been someone we would say is African-American, or not African-American, just African, amen. And so we see here that racism is prevalent, but there's only the human race. Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, amen. In Acts 17, Paul describes all people being one blood during his speech on Mars Hill. Verse 26 of Acts 17, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So we look at race as something that is, like a certain judgment on people or on characteristics or on abilities or good or bad or whatever it may be. People draw all of these conclusions based on race, and what they're really doing is drawing conclusions based on culture, right? And so if you say this certain race, they're always really good at dot, dot, dot. Well, that's a cultural thing then. Then culturally, there's a reason why they're good at this or this. But we all come from the same line. And there's biblical scholars that get into the idea of melatonin in the skin and how that, you know, perforates and, you know, different things and so forth, different body traits, why things look a certain way for one race or another. And so all of it can be explained away, if you will, by science. And all of it can be explained through scripture to see that we all come from Noah and the line of Noah, right? So we all come from Adam and Eve because Noah came from that line. And the Bible painstakingly points out all of these genealogies so we can trace it back all the way, again, to the godly line of Seth, amen? And so we see that there is no such thing as race, amen? There is only the human race. And when people start getting into race, and people are obsessed with race, I mean, you ever take like a survey or something? They always want to know what race you are. Or in college admissions, first they want to let you in if you're a certain race, and now they don't want to let you in. It's unbelievable. In society, you know, my wife is from Laos, Thailand, amen? She came over as a little kid, and so she's Asian. Our kids, I guess, would be interracial. You know, I don't even think about it, but I do notice every once in a while, especially you're kind of like on the backwoods area of town, she may get a little odd look. My neighbor is African American, literally my next door neighbor. And he tells me about, he worries for his son at college in Greensboro, North Carolina, that he worries about his son because of maybe the pressure on him or maybe people judging him before they get to know him. And this guy is the sweetest guy. He's a big guy, kind of like me, but he is the sweetest guy you'll ever meet. And he's concerned, you know, and we've talked about race, and everybody can relate to this conversation, you know, that race is this big deal. And yet when we look in the Bible, God is letting us know we all come from the same person of Noah. And you say, Brother Clark, how did race come about then? How is this whole thing orchestrated? And as I understand it, it happened at the Tower of Babel, which comes up very soon. Genesis 11 gives us the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, 1, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for their mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And so they go on, and all of these people have to be dispersed because of the sin and evil in their hearts, as they literally were trying to become like God. And so that at that point, up to that point, we were all literally one quote unquote race, right? We all spoke the same language and so forth. We're in the same area. Again, I believe this Middle Eastern Mesopotamian area. And then Tower of Babel comes up, and God separates the people. He confounds the people because, again, we've spoken many times about God's sovereignty. And so he separates the people. And then that creates, what does that create? That creates different cultures. And then these cultures then have different priorities, different family life, different ways about them. Amen. And it's, again, it's all cultural. You may meet someone from Japan that is very community oriented. They may be all about the group and not themselves. But then you may be surprised to learn that that starts in elementary school. That starts in the household, that they are teaching these children to be very community oriented, that they don't just make lunch for themselves, but they make lunch for all the kids in the classroom and so forth. It's not that their skin's dictating that, or their blood is dictating that. It's the culture. Amen. And on throughout all the different cultures. And again, people can go very deep on this subject, and I'm not, obviously, but I'm trying to give you enough context to know that God's love is not confined to any group of people. God did not create race in Garden of Eden. He didn't create any kind of division between man. God is not a respecter of persons. God is loving. We see God's love in his literal defense of Moses there with the Ethiopian woman. Moses was God's man, and Moses was very important and precious to God, and God was defensive over Moses, and Moses had married a different race. And so what does it mean? It means that God does not look down on race. Where we attend service right now as a small group, it's very diverse, extremely diverse. There's a lot of different races in there. And people don't even talk about it. Like, what does it even mean? You know, but some other people may want to focus on it. And some other people may want to make a big stink about it and try to create division. And that's what I believe a lot of these modern day programs are doing, is they're creating division. I have nothing against lifting people up and helping people and letting people, you know about certain struggles and so forth. But when you're putting such an emphasis on something that the Bible has literally almost no emphasis on, we just forensically can trace back, okay, here's Noah, here's one race. Okay, here's the Tower of Babel, here's a dispersion of people, now that we have multiple races. Now we can trace that back forensically, but God has no preference, amen. Heaven is not white, black, blue, or brown. Heaven is a mix of everything. What heaven looks like is a mix of all different people. You know, people want to get into who was Jesus. You can look genetically, whatever you want to say, you can look at his background and say he was Middle Eastern. Amen. He was born to Mary, and his earthly father there was Joseph. Amen. It's not, you know, he was born in Bethlehem. He came from Nazareth. Like, you can look and see who he was. It doesn't mean that that's God's only preference for mankind. Remember, sovereign God made all, and we're all made for him and by him. Without us, without him was nothing made. Amen. And we are to bring glory to God. And one day in heaven, we're going to see such a diverse group of people. And we may wonder why we wasted time trying to show preference, trying to having any kind of bigotry or any kind of prejudice against another, when in heaven, it is the most diverse place in the world. Amen. It is absolutely the most diverse place in the world. And you've heard it said many times, Sunday is the most segregated time of the week. And that is true. And I don't know why that is, but what I do know is heaven's not going to be segregated. There's not a Hispanic heaven and an Asian heaven and a white heaven over here. There's not that. There's one heaven. Amen. There's one God. Amen. There's one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it's very important not to get caught up in this junk about race, to look forensically and objectively at the Bible and say, this is when there was one group and this is when they spread out. And that's that. And then we can just kind of move on with it. Amen. Loving all people. That's what we're commanded to do. Amen. Not putting people down, but lifting them up. That's what God would have us to do. We don't have to spend any more time on it than that. I think that's more than enough time to understand God's will for our lives. Tune in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 9. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.